Oh yeah, now it's recording.
All right, my name is Beck Crater. It is June 24th, 2023. And just as a part of the interview, just making sure you consent to all of this being online.
And everything.
Sure, yeah.
Perfect, awesome, and then we can start. Please state your name and where you were born.
My name is Nathan Williams. I was born in Longview, Texas.
Heard that.
All right, and for the first question, can you describe what it was like growing up LGBTQ+ in Louisiana?
Well, I moved to Louisiana halfway through my sophomore year of high school, which was at the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic. And at that time, I was staying with my immunocompromised aunt and my uncle, so I ended up spending the entire next year virtually. I was coming from an abusive home back in Texas, and so there were a lot of things that were going on at the time, and so I wasn't really able, like, there was no room to think about me or my identity. Like, all of it was purely, like, my safety, like, you know, how am I going to get to college, like, what school am I going to, really focusing on making it out of my teen years. And I'm 19 right now. I've almost succeeded in making it out of my teen years.
Well, it seems like you're doing great, Nathan. Let's see. And to lighten it up, what would you say is the best part of being LGBTQ+? Like, what would you say is, like, the most, like, gratifying part of the whole experience that you've had, despite all the trouble?
I think the biggest thing has been my ability to empathize with people, because, you know, I have definitely acted out or have been bitter because of how much I repressed in my youth. I now identify as a trans bisexual man, but, you know, for a while there, I was the straight peppy cheerleader that went to youth group every Sunday or every Wednesday and church on Sunday and went to all of the, mission trips and everything like that. And, you know, and so now, looking back on all of that and it's just, you know, now I'm able to empathize with people. A little bit more about what it was like, for me growing up queer, especially once I did move to Louisiana, at 17, so about a year, finally feeling kind of safe and comfortable in my surroundings, I did finally come out as trans and bisexual. And I got kicked out of my aunt and uncle's house at the beginning of my senior year of high school. And so, thankfully, I had friends at that time that were willing to take me in, and I was able to complete high school and go to college, which a lot of trans youth in my situation wouldn't have been able to do. But it's definitely opened my eyes to the world a lot. I definitely feel it's easier to empathize with people.
Yeah, absolutely. That's beautiful. Thank you. Let's see. What does pride mean to you, and why is it important in Louisiana?
So pride for me means, community. It's that feeling of finally being safe. Like, you know, it's that breath after holding it for, you know, for me, it was 17 years of my life that I was holding that breath. And it's finally being surrounded by people that are breathing with you, and it makes it a little easier.
Absolutely. That's a great way to put it. Do you see a difference in the way LGBTQ+ individuals in Louisiana live now versus when you came out?
I came out, it's been about 2 years now, almost 2 years now. And for me, I think the big difference was, small town high school in Stonewall versus, going to, not a big college, but, a good sized college and just being exposed to more queer youth. So I don't know. I don't think I have really good perspective on it, but
it's all new. Yeah.
Yeah, it's all new to me. I feel like every day I'm learning a little bit more about queer history, and everything that I learn just, makes that feeling of pride so much more. But it's still, you know, I'm still learning. I think it's actually just now that as a writer, I'm like adding queer stories into, you know, the short stories and the long, I'm finally adding all that because I feel like I understand a lot more now.
Right, absolutely. Okay, and then, I mean, this covers some of that writing stuff too. How do you feel about the recent political actions taken against LGBTQ plus people in Louisiana? Book bans, legislation, sports bans, etc.
Oh, my goodness. You know, at first, there was so much anger. Like, I felt so angry because, like, as for the majority of my life, a closeted queer person, you know, being able to see those few brave souls, especially in, you know, K through 12 schools that, you know, wore it on their sleeves and with pride, and, you know, in, like, I looked up to them. And to see that that option was being taken away and that people were talking about, you know, outing trans kids to their parents. Like, I chose to come out and, like, you know, I ended up homeless. Like, I thought I was in a safe situation and I still got kicked out. And, you know, if a kid is purposely keeping that from their parents or their guardians, there's a reason for that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's completely unsafe.
And, you know, it's also the othering. Like, we're not different. Like,
By any means.
Yeah.
It's just like humans just trying to, like, be themselves and exist in a space, you know?
Exactly. And
it's not understood like that at all.
It's so irritating that the most, like, empathetic people are, you know, being really discriminated against like this, and, you know, just beat down by all these legislative processes and these people that have no clue what they're talking about and won't take the time to stop and ask.
Absolutely. And what can you share about your experience of queer spaces in Lafayette?
So, not necessarily in Lafayette, but whenever I did go to NSU, I was very excited to, like, because I was in the band, and it's just, like, seeing so many more. Like, you know, it's no longer just the few brave souls, but seeing so many other people that were kind of, like me. And it made it so much less scary. Like, I felt so much more confident, like, just telling teachers, like, my preferred name and pronouns. I had, you know, friends now that would volunteer to come up and, like, you know, do that with me. And, you know, it's that breath. Like, you know, it's that, you know, there are now other people breathing with you.
Yeah, absolutely. In your experience, what support have you seen from schools and other educational institutions?
So, my high school, whenever they heard that I did get kicked out of home after coming out as trans, there were so many teachers and faculty and staff that were so supportive. And, you know, even the ones that weren't supportive, they didn't make a big deal out of it. And I could really appreciate that. You know, like, I didn't need, like, you know, all this attention on me. I just needed to be able to go to school.
Right, absolutely.
And so, you know, I for one, you know, North DeSoto High School, like, that school is the only one I can really speak on. You know, NSU as a college, like, you know, I don't have many great things to say about them these days. I had some problems with their Title IX this past semester, but but North DeSoto High School, I mean, they allowed me to just be a student.
Yeah, it's just invaluable, and like you said, and like in the trans experience, just like having access to that is amazing. But let's see, and last question, what is your hope for the future of the LGBTQ plus community in Lafayette?
I hope, like, thankfully we've been pretty successful in shutting down a lot of the transphobic legislation that they've been trying to pass. I hope that we keep on that victory streak and eventually, you know, get back to breathing normally.
Yeah.
You know, I hope that soon we can finally put this all behind us with, you know, that, of course, people are still going to try to fear monger, but hopefully they won't be as loud.
Yeah,
hopefully we can be a little bit louder.
Absolutely. Well, that concludes the interview, and thank you so much.